Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't know who did the brackets. I don't know who even came up with March Madness. And if your team loses, you think it's crazy. If your team's still winning, you like it, right? That's kind of the way I am. I'm assuming, Sal, you did keep Kentucky in it. Okay. You might be a CPA, but I don't think you could go that low. It's not easy, though, because anytime you stop shooting and someone else is hitting, you lose, right? You could be a great team and still lose. That's the trouble, isn't it? And you get yourself so hyped and so this, and then you lose. Well, that's the Christian life, but you don't have to lose. That's one of the good things. How to get rid of your biggest fear. What is your biggest fear? Well, you may not admit it, but that's dying and not knowing where you're going to go. You know, if you're a Catholic, your Catholic Church says that birth control's wrong, and you believe in birth control and use birth control, well, that's a mortal sin, right? And you can't go to heaven. Well, that's the true church statement, right? Yet they say a majority of Catholics don't practice that. Personally, I don't think it's wrong to have birth control. I really don't. That's just my opinion, but I'll fight for any church's right to believe that. And I don't believe the government ought to tell us what to do, do you? Our president picked the brackets. He did it on television. And I found myself agreeing with President Obama. He picked Kentucky all the way to the finals. And then he picked North Carolina. That man knows nothing. But see, if people agree with us, isn't it amazing? Referee calls it something and you're all upset. That referee, he needs glasses. And my wife says, honey, they called it in favor of Kentucky. That's the greatest referee I have ever seen. Isn't it amazing, our prejudices? We say we're not, right? You know, I try to get all of you not to holler at the refs. I really don't think you should when we're playing ball with our teams. I just don't want you to do that because, you know, we're prejudiced. Well, that's the stupidest call I've ever seen. Well, have you ever refed? No. Well, wait till you do it, then you can talk, right? Right? I shared with you that my wife, there's never been a foul ever called on my grandson that was really a foul. I said, honey, you can't have 100 fouls and none of them are his fault. Well, she still doesn't agree with that. They're not his fault. How do you get rid of these fears? How about our prejudices? How do we get rid of our prejudices on how even to go to heaven? Most people think you go to heaven by being better than the other person. And if God grades on a curve, at the university, I really wanted teachers that graded on curves, and I mean big curves. And then we'd try to do something to keep the smartest kids from taking the test. What did you do? We won't discuss it. But we'd only get the dumb kids to take the test. The other guys got out in a couple of years. But we wanted a big curve. Now, of course, I'm kidding, but we wanted a big curve. Well, the biggest curve in the world won't get you into heaven. Because going to heaven, you got to be perfect. And there's nobody in this room that's perfect. No one can be. It's impossible. If you think you're perfect, you just told the biggest lie on the earth. They said over in the Philippines, they had one group of people that said they had never sinned. Now, that's pretty unusual. I don't find that too much, but I have found that here in America. We found that here. If you'd look at Romans 7, 7 and 8, for point one, the awakened sinner. What shall we say then? Is the law? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment wrought in me all matter of concupiscence. For without the law was dead. That's a weird word, isn't it? That's a weird word. What does it mean? Well, hold it on. We'll get to it in a little bit. It would be necessary, as we look at this doctrinal division, we've been going through Romans, not ashamed. Romans was written to show us how you're going to get to heaven. And it's really good. The end of chapter 8, we look first at the portion which ends with chapter 7, and then we have the two masters. We have sin personified and God as revealed. We have the two husbands, one being the law, one being Christ. Now, this might be complex if you just walked in and you've never been here before, if you haven't been listening verse by verse. What is the law? You know, people say, well, I keep the law and I'm going to heaven because I keep the law. But no one can keep the law. No one can keep the law. No one can keep every law. No one can even drive down Quentin Road and keep the law, because there's about 5 to 6 different speed zones from here to Rand Road. You don't know what the speed is. I mean, I've been trying to keep the law. Sometimes you drive 35, then it's 40, then it's 55. Then there's a spot that it's 85. No. It is hard, though, isn't it? But you never can tell what the law really is. And no one can keep all the law. Impossible. You're going into a light. As you're going in, it turns yellow. And now they have them to turn yellow, and in a nanosecond, they're red. Now, if there's a camera there, and they have to tell you, if there's a camera, you better slam on your brakes. It doesn't matter how many people run into you. You don't want to get a ticket. Just hit the brakes. Bam, bam, bam. And then you collect many insurance policies. It's how we live. My wife and I, we had this old car. We had no money. And it was an old Plymouth, old yellow Plymouth. It was the ugliest Plymouth on the history of this earth. And one time, she kept getting hit. Never her fault, but she kept getting hit. She got hit in Mount Prospect, and these kids says, "You gonna call the pigs?" They said, "No, she doesn't have to. We're already here." Oh, man, we really collected on that one. That was cash. They didn't want to go to jail. Well, what are we? Well, what are you talking about? See, we're either married to the law or we're married to Christ. Who are we married to? The law or Christ? Now, what does the law do? The law lets you know you're a sinner. The law lets you know you're sinning. You know, I've been out to Texas when I was still in college, and Texas didn't, now this is true, they did not have speed limits in their old roads. I went out to a convention out in Dallas. We drove. I drove with my friend, Jesse Jones. Don't you like that name? Jesse Jones. It wasn't Jesse James, but he drove like Jesse James. And we drove, no lie, without seatbelts on, 120 miles an hour. That's how he drove, because we were in Texas. No seatbelts, because back then nobody wore seatbelts, because we had the stupid notion that seatbelts would hold you in the car while you burn up. Isn't that a brilliant thing to think? You're dead anyway. It doesn't matter if you burn up, right? Free cremation. And now I won't get in a car without putting my seatbelt on. I really believe in it. And if you don't, you don't have it all upstairs. But we see that we, under the law let us know how dirty we were. The law's like a mirror. And the mirror shows us how dirty you are. If you're an ugly, terrible-looking man, and the mirror shows you you're a terrible, ugly-looking man. It just shows you. It can't change what you are. You look and say, oh, that's me. You look in that mirror and you say, man, that's horrible. And then you turn the mirror around, and these women have these magnified mirrors. Did you ever mistakenly look at yourself in a magnified mirror? That's the trouble about having high-definition television. Have you ever seen yourself on high-def television? It shows every flaw, flawlessly. everything that's wrong with you shows up. And today was our last day on WGN. And we're going to be on the Family Channel, ABC Family, in about 5 weeks. And they're going to actually show us in ID. GN didn't because it was a simulcast. I hate going off of WGN, but we're looking forward to being on Family Channel. But it will show every flaw. The law showed every flaw. No one ever got saved by keeping the law. You can't keep the law for 1 minute. If I tell you to sit for 1 minute and not do anything wrong or think anything wrong, you can't possibly do it. You can't do it. So hold on to those thoughts. Don't let it get away from you. The sin in the flesh, if you have trusted Christ, it's been defeated. But here's what a friend of Luther said, a guy named Philip. He said, old Adam is too strong for young Philip. See, here's what I want everybody to understand. I'm going to take this Zacchaeus here, Charlene. Now, Denise, I want to tell you something. Charlene threw you under the bus. She said, that's Denise's, not mine. You have to be perfect. Yet to Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Boy, he was an ugly-looking man, wasn't he? Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. Just get out of it. This is on high-definition television. That's awful. And God says, look, you've got to be born again, Zacchaeus. You've got to be born again. You cannot go to heaven because you've tried to keep the law, because you've broken the law. And you've broken the law and broken the law. And to go to heaven, man, I cannot believe it's come to this after all these years of preaching. I'm holding up Zacchaeus. It's really been a rough 40 years. Zacchaeus. You must be born again. Until you're born again. See, the law lets you know how dirty you are. And I've had people say, I said, how do you go to heaven? They said, I keep the 12 commandments. They don't even know how many there are. But no, if you've lusted, you've committed adultery, the Bible says, or coveted other people's stuff. If you've had hate, you've committed murder. There's none of you that haven't had hate. Don't tell me you haven't had hate. Don't tell me sometime in your life you didn't hate somebody. Just don't go there because it's not true and you know it's not true. You hate. And God says that's murder. And if you broke one of the commandments, you broke all the commandments. No one can go to heaven by keeping the commandments because no one can keep the commandments. But one person kept the commandments. And we're going to get into more detail as I finish into Romans than we do today. But no one can keep the commandments. It's never been done, and it will never be done. We find in our flesh every kind of vileness. Every kind of vileness. Happy is the young person that finds Christ, and he goes to church, and he learns about the two natures. See, when we're born again, we get this nature here. It's new. It's perfect. But we still have this old nature that we were born with. Now, this nature can't win, but we can let it win. And a new convert, and they're saying, man, I'm so excited. I'll never forget when I was at the University of Kentucky and I trusted Christ. And this is the truth. I felt like the sheets didn't touch my body. I had been born again. I didn't even know I was looking for him. But God found me, and I knew I was going to heaven. And I'd heard people get up, and they'd say, I'm a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. But I still had bad thoughts. I still thought bad things. I tried not to, but I still did. But I'd hear these people say, all things are become new. I remember hearing this one guy do it in Crusade for Christ, and he got up and praised how everything was new. And I'll never forget the dance I went to that night. I'll never forget it. I looked at him, and he was drunk as a skunk, and he was doing things that nobody should do. And I looked at him, and I said, all things have passed away. all things have become new, and you look like a drunk skunk. Wow, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. What's wrong here? What's wrong with this picture? And I would look at him and say, what is wrong with him? And then someone took some time to say, yes, all things have become new when you trust Christ, but you still are carrying this old nature, the old man. Now, some of the new evangelicals, the new, you know, they believe in lordship salvation, and they say if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And they say if you still are struggling, you were never saved. There was a man that stood up over in the Philippines, and he said that he got saved, but he was living out of wedlock, and he finally, when he got married, and then the head of Lordship Salvation said, John MacArthur said, well, you weren't saved until you got married, and it just about destroyed this guy because he knew he was already saved, but he had the old nature fighting him. And I had someone explain to me the two natures. Yes, this new birth is perfect, but we still have our old nature. And yes, it can't win unless we let it win. But we have to learn how to yield ourselves. And we have to learn how to yield. How to yield. Someone once said, the only thing standing between you and greatness is you. Can I change that? The only thing that's changed that stands between you and greatness is yielding to the new birth. Just yield to the new birth. See, we don't eliminate our carnal mind, our old nature. The perfection of the flesh is impossible, but I can yield to my new birth. And boy, that's what I want to do. Have you ever been in a situation? The biggest fear. I used to fear dying. Now, I wouldn't have told any of my friends that. That wouldn't be cool, right? I wouldn't have done that. But that was my biggest fear. I'd drive the car, and I'd think, what's going to happen when I die? What if I run into a tree? I did that. That's the truth. And I did not want to die. I'd go to bed at night and say, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, and I really did not want to die. Look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death by sin, and so sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wow. All have sinned, yet you've got to be perfect, go to heaven. But the moment we believe that Christ paid it all, we're now born again. We're born again. You know, some drink deeply from the tree of knowledge, others only gargle. I want to get you to drink deeply, right? I don't want you gargling. I gargle Listerine every morning. I hate the stuff. But I don't gargle Listerine because I love the taste. They said, well, go to some of the new tastes. There are no good taste of Listerine. Have you tried the mint? I have tried everything. I tried their triple chocolate deluxe Listerine. It's even worse. No, they don't have that. I made that up. Okay, I don't want to get sued by Listerine. Well, what does compuscience mean? What does it mean? Well, the word is in vines. It's listed 31 times as lust. It's listed 3 times as desire. 31 total times. But it's a longing for what is forbidden. Don't we long for what's forbidden? Don't we? Isn't that our nature? Isn't that our nature? Oh, some people hide it better, but we're covered with it. I've got several verses here in a row, which I don't usually do, but I want to give these to you so you get this, okay? Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon. Now that's a word that we don't use a lot anymore. That word reckon means to consider, to count. Ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you ever reckon yourself? Do you ever consider when they're trying to get you to sin, that you're dead to sin, and sin cannot have power over you. That's all God's wanting you to do, is reckon. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit into holiness, the end into everlasting life. Look at Romans 7:11. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment and deceived me, and by it it slew me. Do you ever just reckon that you're dead? Do you know how I get victory over sin? And I'm tempted, but I reckon myself dead. And I say, I'm dead to that. Christ died for that. I'm dead. I consider the fact that I am dead to that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. Now, I know. I realize. Now, I realize a lot of people don't see a thing wrong with drinking. They don't see anything with alcohol. They don't see anything. But did you ever notice that guy in Afghanistan? Now, the poor man, maybe he was over there too many times, whatever, but he was drunk when he went out and killed all those people. Most of the shootings in Chicago is when people are on alcohol. Do you know that I heard an Alaska state trooper say that he's never known anyone on meth or cocaine that did not start out with marijuana? Ever? I know some people can drink and not hurt them, but some can get hurt. And if you do it with your family, some are going to be destroyed. Some aren't, but some are going to be destroyed. And I don't want mine destroyed. I just don't want it. You say, well, why do you drink? You drink to have a good time. Well, I don't need to have a good time by drinking. I have Christ. Now, don't all of you quit coming. I'll give you plenty of time. I didn't come to that conclusion overnight. Takes time, doesn't it? But I don't need it. But you know what they ought to do? I know prohibition didn't work and it won't work, and I wouldn't be for it because it won't work. But you know what they ought to do? They ought to quit advertising it, period. Why do they advertise it on all the sports events? Do you ever wonder that? Just stop advertising. Still buy it, but you can't advertise it. You can't be macho. Did you notice they never have anything but macho man? And those commercials, they're all machos. They have the two-day beard. They look so cool. The girls are falling all over them. They're machos. That's what they are. Do you ever wonder, some things bother me. Why does sun lighten your hair but darkens your skin? That bugs me. Mainly with women. Why is that? I don't know why that is. Why do women, when they put on mascara, have to open their mouth? I know it's not my business. But my wife, I said, close your mouth, hon. Do you ever wonder why a psychic never wins the lottery? Do you ever? I mean, think about it. Psychic wins the lottery. Never. I mean, if you're really psychic, there'd be no lottery because the same people would always win it, right? And then you get these policemen that want psychics to find out things. They can't even get the lottery right. You go up to their home, it says, honk, so we'll know you're there. Well, you should have known we were there before we even thought of coming. And I saw this thing. It just bugs me to no end. They show this soap dispenser that you don't have to touch. They said, if you don't want to spread germs, get this dispenser. You don't have to touch. I thought soap kills the germs. Why would it hurt if you touched it and then put soap on? Does that bug you? That one really gets me. My wife says, hollering at the television doesn't help. But you got to admit, that is stupid. Have a soap dispenser you don't have to touch so you don't spread germs? Doesn't soap kill germs? Huh? Point two, sin is never truthful. Isn't that true? Well, I just proved that with the soap thing. 9, 10, 11. For I was once alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law lets you know how dirty you are. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The law didn't save me. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. The law is death. You can't be saved by keeping the law. It's death. Law is death. Impossible. Impossible. Impossible to keep the law. To minister in death. But the Lord was perfect, kept himself perfect. So he fulfilled the law. I'll use Zacchaeus again. I don't know if Denise did it or Charlene did it. But you've got to be perfect. Perfect. The law lets you know how imperfect you are. Did you hear about the NCAA coach and his team? They didn't think he had a chance. I don't remember the team. This just happened, and he put himself in a casket, and they brought the cameras up on him. He jumped out of the casket and said, "We're still alive." Well, that'd get your attention, wouldn't it? Whoa! I think they lost first round. Was that Duke? But you got to be perfect. How are you going to get this person perfect? How are you going to do it? Well, you're not going to do it by keeping the law. The law just lets you know how imperfect you are. Look at how those legs aren't even close to perfect. Look at the difference in those legs. Look at the arms. They're not even on the same, the shoulders, one's way above the other. And have you ever seen a person with a head that size? That's the biggest head. Well, I guess I have a big head. I've been thinking about doing a society for big-headed men, you know. I don't know. See what it does? But how are you going to keep the law? Well, Christ, who died for the whole law, paid the law. See, he fulfilled the law. We are going to heaven because of what he did. Now, you're going to see a little bit better in a moment. We're going to heaven because he fulfilled the law. Boy, that excites me. It really does. The law's the mirror. And it shows our ugliness in full ID definition. I don't care who you are. Don't you like these skin things that they have? And they show this woman all broken out, and then they put this whatever on it, and she instantly loses all her facial issues. There's this woman. She puts this stuff on. She looks 20 years younger. Immediately. They say every time you swim in the Dead Sea, you get 10 years of youth. Wouldn't you love that to be true? How do you get rid of your biggest fear? Well, let's look at the next verses, if you would. 12 and 13 of Romans 7. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made unto death? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. The law was given to let us know we were dirty, that we needed a Savior. See, that's what changed my life. Someone said that if con is the opposite of pro, then the opposite of Congress, could it be progress? Boy, I tell you, it's hard to see anything happen in this country anymore, right? Because we have so many laws and rules and regulations. See, I need the county board. They came about 3 years ago and said our sign we were using was on the right-of-way, so they showed us where we can put it. They came by Friday. They said it's still 20 feet. Well, we put it 20 feet on end. You might as well put it on this building. Why do they care? Everybody else's sign can be out there. How many feet are they finally going to take? I think I'll just float it in the pond. But that's what people do. Opposite of Congress is progress. Could be, right? Could be. The awakened sinner. Are you awake? God says what he's given us is a free gift. It's a free gift. Now I want to look at these verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is the one I've been talking about. This is the one that confused me so long in my life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Then you get saved and all things aren't become new. You think, well, what's wrong with me? Well, that's true, but you still have your old nature. It's still there. And it is true. But see, Christ is sitting at God's right hand. He's passed through death. He's now at the fountain of a pure and righteous and holy God, and he's our mediator. And once you've trusted Christ, God will never look at you ever again as sinful. There's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. There's none. Zero. None. There's no condemnation. Once you've trusted Christ, you say, but I still sin. Well, that's why you have a mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. Not me, not a preacher, not a priest, not the Virgin Mary. It's Christ. He's our mediator. And the devil says, did you see what Jim Scudder did? And Christ says, yes, Father, but I took care of his sins. And they're done forever. Boy, isn't that great? We not only live in grace, but we live in a super abundant grace. Boy, I'm so excited when I got saved and I understood the two natures. I never thought I'd get saved. I didn't go to church but one time in college in 4 years. I didn't like church. My dad was a Methodist preacher, and I didn't like church. I liked my dad. Boy, I believe my dad's the greatest dad ever lived, but I did not like church. I just didn't want to go to church. Some of you don't want to be in church. Some of you sitting here right now saying, I wish he'd shut up. Glad you don't do it publicly, but the fact that our link with Adam, you really believe in Adam. I really do. You really do. What, do you believe you came from a rock? If you believe in evolution, you came from a rock. Yes, you did. From no God. See, true evolution is true atheism. No, they don't teach that in school. I took some books out of the library when I was trying to decide this for myself, and I found out that atheism and evolution are one and the same because they don't believe there's a God. They don't believe in any design. Pure accidental, an explosion, and here we are. That's why they worship the earth. That's why everybody wants to do everything right, and everything has to be green. Our president told all of us that if we don't believe in his policies, we believe in the flat earth. And friends, I want you to know it's never been proven the earth is round. Joking, joking, joking. But you know what happened to Columbus's father when he went out before Columbus? He fell off the edge. You know, even in that day, no one believed the earth was flat. Come on, enlightened people didn't believe that even then. They thought Columbus was taken the wrong way, in the long way, but they didn't think he'd fall off the earth. Come on. If someone doesn't agree with you, you can't say they're stupid. You can say they're wrong, but you can't say they're stupid. It's not right. It's just not right. Well, there's a lot of things today. Have you seen all the people that advertise how you can save all this money on car insurance? Man, if you go to Geico, you save this. You go to Progressive, you save this. I've called every one of them, and none of them are cheaper. You know, if that was true, you could live forever on just switching insurances. Just buy this one, then switch to this one, save $300. Switch to this one, save $350. Switch to Progressive, save $500. But none of them are cheaper. I'm not going to tell you which one I have, but it's still cheaper. Weird. Our old man has been crucified. He's been crucified. Let me give you a quick example. We're running out of time, but let me give you a quick example. When Pharaoh was chasing the Israelis, the Egyptians, the Israelis, Pharaoh was the old man. He drowned in the river. Many of us have been to Egypt, and we've been to the Egyptian Museum is the most fabulous museum in all the world. And they won't tell you this, but they have a Pharaoh that is white, that was drowned. And we believe it's the Pharaoh. You say, you really believe that? Oh yeah, I really do. Sure, easier than believing in a rock. I've debated many high schools across the country. I've debated some brilliant science teachers, much more brilliant than me. And there's always one student. I can usually pick them out before they ask. And they're kind of punching each other. I said, I'd like to open up for questions. Where did Cain get his wife? Wow. Never thought of that. Thousands of questions. Never thought of that. You're the first one to ever bring that up. Could I ask you, where did the first evolutionary glob get its wife? Oh, no. Well, Cain probably married a cousin. Didn't have a choice. Do you reckon, count it as true? Someone says, but I don't feel dead. I'm supposed to be dead in Christ, but I don't feel dead. Well, look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you live? I live in Christ. Isn't that the greatest thing you've ever seen in your entire life? Wow. Now, I want everybody to watch this. I've been here in the same church for over 40 years. And I've done this every service that there's lost people. You say, why do you do this? Because I want everybody to understand what salvation is. See, this billfold represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, you got to be perfect. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. So you got me here, Pastor, to tell me everybody can't go to heaven? Yes, you can't. You're telling me no one can go to heaven with their sin? That's right. Your sin has to be paid. Wow. Look over here at my right and your left. Now listen, you can look this up in any Bible. I'm using the King James Bible, but you can look it up in the Catholic Bible or any Bible you want, and it says the same thing. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasters in heaven. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? You just receive it. See, here we are with our sin. This hand reverently represents Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin, Christ, was made. Now watch this. Made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. See, you can know you're going to heaven before you die. These things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. See, I know I've got eternal life. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I'm better than you, because I'm most likely not. There's a whole lot of people better than me. But I'm going to heaven because I've been born again, because I put my trust into Christ. And then I have a new birth. I still have this old birth, though, and they're still going to fight. And as a Christian, you shouldn't sin, but you can sin, and you can do anything that you could do before you were a Christian. But you've now got your new birth, and if you reckon, consider it true, that you're dead, and Christ died for your sins, and now he's alive, and he's living, and you reckon that, and you consider that, and you go to church to learn more about that, you'll have the power to overcome sin. Not perfect, but you'll be able to beat it down, and you don't have to if you're in pornography. Senator Santorum said he's going to fight this pornography. I hope he does, and I'm for it, because you can't watch it and not be ruined. You can't be destroyed. It's awful. You used to be the dirty old man had to go on the dirty side of town, but now they just have to turn on their computer. And that's why I say, if you got a computer and you won't let your wife see what you're doing, listen, my wife can see my computer. When I did have my phone locked, I gave her the code, and I told her she can look at my phone anytime. We have all kinds of safeguards. On top of it, we have Joe Sortman, and If someone's trying to get on bad stuff, it alerts him. I like that. I like that. But to go to heaven, I don't care how good you are, you've got to be perfect. And through Christ, He's perfect. And God now sees me in Christ, and Christ in you, and you in me, in Christ without sin. He sees you and me as righteous as He sees Christ. Isn't that great? I shared with you the other day, this guy said, well, I don't want to be one of those Baptists because you can't drink, smoke, cuss, cut out paper dolls or anything and go to heaven. I said, no, you can do all those things and go to heaven. I don't do those things, but that's not, you can do all those things, still go to heaven. Going to heaven is not what you don't do, it's what Christ did. Everybody see that?